Such thing in, as a citizen of the United States, except by first you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Matthew 21. All right. A 14th Amendment citizen also refers to these terms: U.S. citizen, citizen of District Columbia. They have civil rights and are not equal to the natural rights which the Father gave you. And these states give you immunities, and they give you the rights of property, rights to inheritance, rights to work and contract, and the right to travel, amongst others. A federal citizen is a taxable entity. They started a corporation in your name, and you are a taxable entity under the description of this. So when you say you're a U.S. citizen, you are required to pay taxes if you don't know how not to.
Paul, can you tell them how long it's been since you paid federal income tax?
96. And in 1990, I made $458,000, and they didn't take a penny. And I was vice president of the biggest software company in the world. And the president of the company came to visit me, and also someone from Congress came to visit me and said, "Hey, what are you doing, man?" Yeah, they were going to offer me a deal I couldn't refuse, and I did.
Amen.
So the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, do not, the civil rights that you're given as a U.S. citizen don't include the 9th or 10th Amendments in regards to 1 through 8. They're only limited. So you take benefits from the federal government, and those are called adhesion contracts. Okay? And you are required to obey every statute that Congress makes. And remember, that word statute is not the same as law.
And I'll show you that.
Okay. Now, the U.S. citizens are under the jurisdiction of commercial law, international banking law, okay? And they are evidenced by adhesion contracts such as negotiable instruments, such as the Federal Reserve notes, okay? These are all international commercial and banking law. The state citizen has access to common law, which is where our Constitution was written, and before that was Old English common law. That's what the state citizen have access to. So you can't, when you go into a courtroom and you start saying, "My constitutional rights say that I have this right here," the judge will tell you to shut up and sit down and say, "You've got no constitutional rights in here." And he's telling you the truth. Because a U.S. citizen has no access to common law. The 14th Amendment citizen, created by Congress, the U.S. citizen's God. And an act of Congress is applicable to District of Columbia, Puerto Rico. District of Columbia is a 10-square-mile area. All their territories and their insular pollution state, I say pollution, because that's what it is, it's not possession, it's pollution.
Amen.
And state includes District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, Samoa, and all their territories. Right here. Is it not written in my laws, I said, ye are gods?
Uh-huh.
That's John 10:34, and that's what Messiah's own words.
Amen.
And that's what he was saying to the Pharisees. The state citizen is bound and protected by the Constitution and common law as the founding fathers intended. It empowers the federal government to regulate international trade, trade between states, and exercise jurisdiction over the definition of the District of Columbia, the territories, and the things that I told you, Samoa, and all those things. The rights are considered a gift from the Creator and not to be disturbed by the acts of man. These rights were considered important enough to be specifically stated to be secured from the federal encroachment of the Bill of Rights. These rights existed long before the creation of the country and the U.S. government. Left to its own devices without restriction, it uses man-made laws to defeat the liberty that the Republic represents.
Amen.
And we were born state citizens, and we volunteer to be federal citizens.
That's right.
So right now, in Alabama, I'm listed as a Floridian, and a man on the land in Alabama. I am not a U.S. citizen.
Amen.
And I've got affidavits proving it.
In other words, you're a terrorist and a criminal.
To them, I am.
In their eyes.
Yep. And not to Yahweh, I'm not.
Citizen.
I'm one of his.
Amen.
Okay. The types of law. Public law is what's described in the Constitution. Key points. It separates judicial, executive, and legislative branches. And not one branch can perform the whole duties of the other ones. So that, you know, whenever they pass a law in Congress, like to up the age to vote, for example, then the judicial has to say, okay, we can prove, we can also play our part and we'll approve this law. Okay, so that each one of them has separated power. Under public law, that's what a state citizen's got. Under commercial law, you're into a private law, okay? And that's why Bush can take these things like executive orders, and he can execute the branch of judicial, legislative, and executive all in one command, okay? Because that's not constitutional law. He's under private law, okay? Common law, this matches with the public law, is what we've had since 1614, and it began to be replaced by the International Banking Law in 1939. The Uniform Commercial Code, also known as statutory law and international banking law, is made up of equity, administrative, and admiralty color of law, which means it's not a true law. It's a blending of private law. Okay? Now, this is what you are. Number one, when you're a U.S. citizen, you're a ward of the court. And this is all out of Black's Law. Incompetent person, incapable of representing oneself. How many of you said, do you need an attorney when you were there?
Right.
How many heard that?
Yeah.
I heard it before.
Yeah.
That's right. And I felt like saying, screw you, you know, but I couldn't say it. And right here, person of unsound mind, that's a ward of the court. Sui juris, competent man or woman, capable of self-representation, not under legal disability or the power of another or guardianship. Okay? So how many want to be that?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
How many in here are residents? Well, I mean, that's what they call you on the news all the time. You're a resident of Tennessee, a resident of Alabama. You know what res is?
Mm-hmm.
In civil law, objects of property and not capable of ownership.
Okay.
Not victims. Voluntary.
Voluntary.
There's no such thing as a victim in here.
Surrendered.
Corporation examples.
Yep.
Companies, government agencies, churches, persons, states, United States of America. And I had a lot of background in doing research and stuff, and Yahweh blessed me with the love of truth when I was 2 years old, and I've always pursued it. And I'm going to show you some things that I found, because I started thinking, well, if these things are corporations, where are they incorporated? Where are they? You know, and I said, well, wait a minute. There's only two states in the whole country where people go to get incorporated. That's either Nevada or Delaware. So I started saying, okay, well, I'm going to go to the Secretary of State's site, and I'm going to find them. And guess what? Yahweh said, here they are, Jack.
Amen.
Okay. State of Tennessee, any state. The Buck Act in 1940 creates a federal state within the boundaries of every Union state. Congress wanted to apply the acts of all the sovereign states. It would have to include the statement, the 50 sovereign states of the Union of several states, but they did not, because it would be a clear violation of their constitutional outline. Okay, there's the website right there, and you can go look it up. There's the file number, United States of America Corporation, kind, corporation, entity type closed. The real owners are secret.
Ah.
And who are the preferred stockholders? It ain't you. It ain't you. And if you don't believe it, go look on that website, and you tell me I'm lying. Guess who else? Central Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's their file number. General Corporation for Profit. They're in there to make money. They're in there to make money. That's why all these drugs are coming into Los Angeles, and that's why all the heroin trade and Bush and all them, Daddy Bush was using that for all their covert operations. There's another one. Uh-oh, who are they?
Uh-oh.
The guys that print your money. Oh!
Religious
nonprofit. What are the churches?
501.
How many wants to go out there and join the church?
No way.
This is the man, Baron Rothschild. Give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not who makes the laws. Okay? And I'm going to show you something in a minute that proves the point. This right here is the 94th Congress, 1976, second session. The Federal Reserve owners, and on the CD there's 12 pages on this org chart. Stop there. Bank of England, Rothschild.
Oh, yeah,
we're a country.
Yeah.
Who else is on here? Brown.
Uh-huh.
Lord Montague.
Lizard.
These guys are all stock corporations and banks. Here's page 2. I didn't want to print out all 12 pages. You can go look. And I'll tell you what, it started getting thick. And in your handouts there, page 3 gets interesting because guess who else is on it? Rockefeller.
Oh.
Lehman Brothers. Ever heard of them?
Yeah.
Morgan. Ever heard of J.P. Morgan?
Uh-huh.
Okay. These guys own the guy thing that's making your money.
Yeah.
Now, does that sound like government? Private corporation. Okay. Here's inflation history since 1800. The thing you want to notice, look, the dollar was worth the same from 1800 all the way through 1933. What happened in 33?
December 23.
There you go. Isn't that when we had the crash in 29 through 33? That's when they took all the gold from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The gold standard was eliminated in 71 by Mr. Nixon right here. And from there to there, you can start seeing after World War II, the inflation started hitting us. They charge us 3% to print our money.
Yeah.
And if you look on the bills here, this is what Congress was allowed to make, gold and silver. That was it. That's what they were, by law, given the ability to make. Here's a modern $20 bill, Federal Reserve note. It's a promissory note. It's got the debtor and the creditor signed right there.
Yeah.
And it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So, it's a debt instrument, okay?
You dealt with a debt.
Now, I'm going to show you something else. Here's a 1950 $10 bill. Let's see what this one was worth. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and redeemable for lawful money at the United States Treasury or any Federal Reserve Bank. So if legal tender and lawful money are in the same clause, they must be different, right?
Right.
Now, the Federal Reserve Bank killed John F. Kennedy.
Right
here is a 1963 United States note. United States note, that's not a Federal Reserve note.
Amen.
So Kennedy printed up 4.5 billion of these, and he said at Dartmouth University 1 month before he died, I'm going to cut the American people a break. I'm going to print up money without debt. Okay? Guess what happened to him?
Yeah, no. Is that why that's leaving? That's some of the money that he had printed.
This is some of the money he had printed.
Legal tender.
Did that ever go into circulation?
4.5 billion.
How long did that circulation?
I got these. My ex-wife works as a manager at Walmart, and I told her anytime they do $250,000 a day, I said anytime that machine spits out a dollar bill, I said I want you to put a dollar in there for me and bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got the $10 bill, I got the $5 bill, and I got these other ones just so I can prove to people what happened. And Yahweh sent them to me.
Amen.
So Walmart ain't that bad. They help us out a little bit. So anyway, right here. Look at the inflation, though, from here to right now. It's gone through the roof. Through the roof.
And it's even accelerated recently beyond that graph.
Right.
Almost straight vertical.
Our debt is $46 trillion. And that's not, the unsecured debt is closer to $70 trillion.
$70 trillion, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, Internal Revenue Service, general corporation for profit.
Oh,
I see, so they're there to make money too. How many people pay them?
Not anymore. Everyone.
Yeah. Well, you might be surprised. And there's still taxes you can't get out of, like on the gas, if you want to drive a car, unless you want to ride a horse. There's taxes you can't get out of. But see, another thing here. All of the U.S. property titles and warranty deeds, so every certificate of title and every warranty deed. How many here don't own any money on their property? They got a warranty deed. Okay? You got nothing.
Okay?
You got nothing. Warranty deeds, RTC Commercial Trust, and I've been up there because I helped them on designing some computer systems. They're a statutory trust, Uniform Commercial Code, and they have all of the property owned in the United States. They got $6 trillion in assets in that place. How many people in here think they're going to get Social Security? Huh? Well, good luck. You may get it for another year or two.
Right.
But Lyndon Johnson in 1964 put the Social Security Trust Fund into the general fund, and Congress has been spending it like drunk soldiers.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it goes way beyond this. I've only given you a few examples. The examples go on through the Physicians and Surgeons Association. I'm telling you that this thing is wrapped up. Other private corporations, just to give you an idea. Congress, Inc., Senate, Inc., for-profit corporations, State of Alabama, State of Tennessee, all 50 states, Department of Justice, Homeland Security, Police Enforcement, NSA, formed by executive order, all for-profit corporations. 501(c)s. Who else was one? Remember the Federal Reserve Bank?
Mm-hmm.
Churches, including Catholic, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, all have the same corporate standing as USA, Inc., and Federal Reserve. They all got EINs, employee identification numbers, so you can pay tax. So, you became a corporation. You became a corporation. When you were born, they issued a birth certificate. You are a corporation. And until you deny it by affidavit, you are a corporation. And that's what the assumption and presumption in all court of law is. You are a corporation. And here's the actual case story right here. Plaintiff pled defendant was a corporation. Defendant did not deny by verified pleading pursuant to TRCP 52, this law, in 93, that it was not a corporation, thus fact was established. So here's what they give you. Whenever you get something from the IRS or from the bank bills, you know, or your notes and all that stuff, it says right there, first, middle, last name, John James Smith, all capital letters. It's a legal fiction created by the government. The real being is written with upper and lower case, and you have lawful Christian name, surname, and family name, and it's been substituted that birthright by a legal fiction for them to deal with you. Because they're a legal fiction, they can't deal with the real man. They got to deal with legal fiction. Okay? The lawful Christian name answers as the legal person. So when you go to court and they go, Pastor Buddy, you were speeding ticket 14. Pastor Buddy, Pastor Buddy. Pastor Buddy goes, here. What did he do? He just merged the real being with the artificial entity.
He entered a contract.
Yep. And I'm going to read something to you right here. Okay, and I'm going to read you some scripture. How many people in here were taught when Peter and the other disciple went with Yahweh HaMashiach to see Caiaphas? Remember whenever they were getting ready to make the accusations? Okay, I'll read it to you, then I'm going to tell you what just happened. Then the band and the captains and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. They led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas said, was he, which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Yahweh HaMashiach, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Yahweh HaMashiach into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that was at the door unto Peter, Art thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. What do they teach you in church? That Peter denied the Messiah three times, right? And he turned him over, right? I mean, they make it bad, right? Okay, well, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to tell you something. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Yahweh HaMashiach of his disciples and his doctrine. Yahweh HaMashiach answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing.
Amen.
Okay. Why ask thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he went, and when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by Yahweh HaMashiach struck him with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest? Yahweh HaMashiach answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. If well, why smitest thou me?
Amen.
Now Ananias had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and they said therefore unto him, Art thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, who his ear was cut off by Peter, said, Did I see thee in the garden with him? Peter denied it then, and immediately the cock crew. So all the preachers teach you, oh, he denied him. He denied him. He did a bad thing. Okay. Then led by Yahweh HaMashiach from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, and that they might not eat the Passover. Pilate went out unto them, and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, would we have not delivered him unto thee? Then Pilate said unto them, Take ye and judge him according to your law. The Jews said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Why? Because you've got to have two witnesses. Okay, you've got to have two witnesses. Now what happened so far? The Messiah did not witness on himself. So when they said, Is Jesus out there with this speeding ticket? He didn't raise his hand. He said, So sayest thou. Yeah. So the disciple that went in that the high priest knew witnessed against him, but he didn't witness against himself. And he told Peter, Keep your mouth shut. Okay? Then the saying of Yahweh HaMashiach might be filled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Yahweh HaMashiach answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? He said, Is that what you say? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation, the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Yahweh HaMashiach answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. Now is my kingdom not from hence? Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Yahweh HaMashiach answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I am born. I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no fault in him. He didn't witness on himself, did he?
That's right.
But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one of the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release to you your own king? And they said, No, kill him. So they, that's John 18, verses 12 through 39. So, if you go in there, you witness on yourself. Okay? You got the cops sitting there, you come in, you're your own second witness. Okay? So,
The federal government is a legal fiction in the U.S., and they can create legal fiction, the state of Texas, and they can create Joe Jim Smith.
Isn't that why when you go to court, they say anything you say will be held against you?
Yep. That's one of the things they say.
Yeah. So, you are a vessel, as defined in Title 18, Section 9. Vessels of the United States, the term vessel of the United States, used in this title means a vessel belonging in whole or in part to the United States or any citizen thereof or any corporation created by or under the law of the United States or any state or territory or district of its possession. And there is the law. This is statutory law, admiralty law, commercial code, color of law, not constitutional public law.
Amen.
Okay, so a U.S. citizen equals
corporate subject equals slavery. Okay, American people are subjected and your property to confiscation at the whim of a private Federal Reserve collectors and the IRS. Being private is why the government can't audit the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Okay, so why can the IRS audit you?
I guess.
Because you made a contract with them. When they said fill out this 1040 form and send it in, they send you a thing saying you owe $16,000 from your wages like that, and what do you do? Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I'll sign it right here, and I get $3,000 back now, yeah. But here's the thing. I'll second witness that.
Yeah. Slick.
United States citizens are part of the corporate structure of the United States and bound to pay the debt. The Council of States controlling your land so that you can never claim you own it, but have to pay rent via ad valorem property taxes. Mortgage in French means dead hand. Okay, the Constitution of Congress of the United States, Constitution to the Congress of the United States is in Congress, and no power remained in the states to change or vary the rule Congress established, or to authorize any foreign subject to denationalize himself and become a citizen of the United States without compliance, without the conditions Congress had prescribed. That's Dred Scott. I remember some of us learned it, but we learned different meaning of what it had. Right here, James Madison said this: I believe there are more instances of abridgments of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those powers than by violent and sudden usurpation.
Yeah.
I think we can all testify that that's probably true. Now, here's the thing. This is where it got me.
Since all citizens of the United States have renounced allegiance to the Sovereign Almighty, given up his citizenship. Okay? When you make an oath, you're making an oath to the United States, and it has no reference to the Almighty. So the unalienable rights that you're given by the unalienable rights are what the Almighty gives you. That means it's unalienable, that you cannot give these up. But by signature, you're volunteering, you now have inalienable rights. And that's what they say that you've got now, inalienable. Two different legal words. Nothing is an unalienable right because the Crown's corporation of England still ruled the U.S. citizens as it did its subjects in England. The only thing that's changed is we are slaves to the feudal, which is a root word for federal, system. And protection draws to subjugation, protection. And that's a maxim of law which goes all the way back to Rome. So a state citizen is greater than a U.S. citizen. Okay? And the United States government is a foreign corporation with respect to a state. And this is the case law that proves that. Okay? And they have to be freely associated contract states in subsection A, and it refers to those freely associated contracts as being countries in section B. And did you know that the individual states were considered to be foreign countries in the United States, and they set up their own federal enclaves inside of the borders of that. So, In the United States, there are two separate and distinct jurisdictions, being the jurisdiction of the states within their own state boundaries, the other being the federal jurisdiction, which is limited to the District of Columbia. And there's a case law for it.
Amen.
Now, what happens when you become a U.S. citizen? You're a citizen of the District of Columbia.
So, they're operating an exclusive jurisdiction over the District of Columbia, the territories, and have full authority to legislate as private contract, private law, pertaining to its boundaries and not to the Union of States. Okay? So, remember when I said you got to do it by affidavit? Say that you're not a U.S. citizen, you become a state citizen at that point, and you have the right. Man is a term of nature, person of civil law.
And here, how many people know what bar stands for?
How many hired attorneys and said, I'm with the Tennessee bar, I'm with the Alabama bar. You know what bar stands for?
British Aristocracy Regency.
There you go.
Yes.
British Aristocracy Regency. Oh, so I'm hiring a trader to represent me.
Don't forget you're in
Boston. Guess where they're headquartered? Yeah. Guess where they're headquartered? City of London. Now, London is not London, England.
That's right.
City of London is a 671-acre city-state just like Rome. 16 of the 20 largest banks in the world are headquartered in the City of London. Yep. Guildford Hall is where the town hall is. It sits on the same site as an ancient castle. In 1100 B.C., Cornelius was a Phoenician. They were Hebrews, magnificent fighters. He came over with ships and invaded southwestern England. It was inhabited by giants. He found that the longbows had a big effect on them boys. So they took a hill and they killed all the giants except for two, Gog and Magog. They were real beings. He took Gog and Magog back to where Guildford Hall is, where the City of London is headquartered, and he chained them to the gates. So everyone that came through had these giant doormen to look at, and they knew the power of Cornelius. And this is all documented proof, and I've got all that on the CD as well. Okay? Okay. So, anyway, the Constitution provides limited powers to the federal government over state citizens. The federal government has unlimited power over federal U.S. citizens because it is acting outside of the Constitution. Administrative laws are private acts and not applicable to state citizens. The Internal Revenue Code is administrative law. Okay? We are a republic. Real liberty is never found in despotism or the extremes of democracy.
Amen.
Alexander Hamilton.
No one really don't live in my man. We're not a democracy. We are.
Yeah, you hear it all over TV. Oh, yeah, we're fighting for democracy in the world now.
Yeah,
what does it say in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance.
Exactly. To the republic for which it stands.
Amen.
Now, I had one of 500 Jacob's Law Dictionary, 1782. I had one of the best in the world. I sold it recently and have been kind of getting rid of some of my stuff, but I have a library. After I started seeing the truth, I read 300 books, and I bought a law library that would fill up this whole room, and I read every one of them. You know, so Yahweh has given, when he gives me the message, I don't walk, I run.
Amen.
So, advowson is the root word for all of this, and it came out of the 1782 edition. All members of the church organization, I put in parentheses, 501(c), Federal Reserve, U.S., Inc., etc., own nothing. The church owns it all. And it's evidence supported by certificate of title, warranty deed, mortgage, citizenship, and all this is in entirety. I've got the whole description of what advowson is. And it's four pages in a book this big. And it's how what the church did was they didn't want their bishops to give the church land to their sons. And that's how it originally started, so that they could retain ownership of it. And the government said, well, that's a pretty good idea. We'll do that too. The only thing a U.S. citizen owns is the U.S. Inc. debt. And as of April 2006, it was $46 trillion, or $176,000 per man and woman. And you volunteered for that. You want to pay him now or later? And Mark Twain, I love this. The trouble with people isn't their ignorance. It's just a number of things they know that ain't so.
Yeah.
Or Will Rogers.
Amen.
All right, here's the adhesion contracts.
The federal government is a Social Security number. Receiving mail sent to Pennsylvania or any two-letter state. Receiving mail with zip codes. FDI insurance on the money left in the bank. Using Federal Reserve notes. Birth certificate. Driver's license. Marriage license. Business license. Voter's registration. Labor union. All those are adhesion contracts. Well, how do you... You can't live if you don't do that.
I don't have any of those.
Amen.
And I rented a car, and I drove up here.
You fly an air truck. Well, you got to have a picture. You got to have this. You got to have that.
Oh, well, to rent a car, man, you need a credit card. You need a driver's license. Oh, really? You want to go out there and see the contract?
No.
Okay. So free yourself. You know, the gentleman last night said we got to work together on this. And I'm telling you right now, who's going to stand in judgment for you?
You.
Who are you going to stand in judgment for you?
You.
So who's going to free you? Him?
You are.
So if you don't want to be out of the system, be a good slave. That's all I can tell you. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7.
Amen.
Here's the start of the steps. What does Psalm say about uneven weights and measures? They're an abomination to Yahweh. What's an uneven weight and measure?
Oh, there's a 20. Guess what? 100 falls just as fast as that 20 does.
That's exactly.
Worthless notes. That's right. Okay. So close your bank accounts and credit cards. Close your stock accounts. Transfer your 401ks and pension plans into a self-directed 401k and then get gold or silver. Yahweh made gold and silver. In Romans 13, they always say, oh, give Caesar his due, you know. And I always say, oh, really? I said, well, who made the gold and silver? And they say, well, the Almighty did. I say, okay, well, give Caesar back his pictures.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there's Adolf Hitler. Gold in the hands of the public is an enemy of the state.
How about that?
Hey, he was a good guy. He knows how to deal with people.
That's right.
He was funded by Rothschild, too. They needed to make some money.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. And here's, you have to undo the corporate adhesion contracts by affidavit. By affidavit. And I'll show you a couple of that I've done. I've already filed mine, and I'll show you the things on it. So I copyright your name because there's a position in law called holder. And when the United States makes... John J. Smith with all capital letters is you. Okay? He's the holder of that. So he's created the trust. And if you don't come up and say, that ain't your trust, that I'm more important than you in this matter, I'm John J. Smith, I'm holder in due course. That's higher position than holder in law. So I copyrighted that artificial entity that they set up for me, and I said, no, that ain't yours. I own that. And guess what? If you use it again, you owe me $500,000.
Hallelujah.
I copyrighted it and I ran it out in California for 28 days. All the papers around Alabama wanted over $1,000 to run it. There's a public record out there that would do it for $150.
Good.
Okay? So, copyright your name. File an affidavit of truth, corporate denial, with the county clerk. And I've got mine. I've got 3 copies and they're all certified. If I get pulled over, I say, oh, by the way, would you include this in with your... Huh? The cop goes, what's this? I say, well, just put it in the thing here. I'll talk to the judge about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and revoke your driver's license. Mm-hmm. And the Real ID Act is the mark of the beast system. And I was shocked because I don't read the local newspaper too much, but I was looking at the Coleman Times, which is the county that joins next to us, and I knew that in Winston County where I am, they were putting in some new computers for the driver's license, but it never occurred. Right now, the license system, they're installing in over 300 counties already in the United States. is the Real ID system, and it goes into a federal database up in Fort Meade, Maryland. It's called the Beast. And I've been in there, and it's the size of 6 football fields, so there's lots of discs in there. We're going to have your driver's license records, your banking records, your health records, your arrest records, what color your mama's foot is. I mean, they're going to, and then all the kind of records they want to put in there, so when the cop pulls it up, they can say, this guy here is trouble. Okay? Now, if you've got a driver's license with a magnetic stripe on the back of it, or they already, how many people here have an address? Wait a minute. A-D-D-R-E-S. What was Rez? You don't own nothing. What are you talking about? That ain't you. Address? No, I have a mailing location. I don't have an address. I'm sorry. You see what I'm saying? Words mean things. So, anyway, they know where you are. They even remember when they sent out those cards and they changed everybody's address? That was more federal jurisdiction. You said, okay, I'll sign my name to that. Yeah, okay, yeah, good, man. Here you go. Oh, that's the 911 system. Oh, no, it wasn't. You just signed away your rights. Okay. So, the Real ID system is part of the Mark of the Beast.
Amen.
And already in Colorado and Utah, the state troopers out there are practicing pulling blood from people that they ticket.
Yeah.
And they're taking them for DNA samples. Okay? Now, if they've got this system right now, is already being installed in Winston County and in Coleman County and 8 other counties in there, because the poor counties said, well, we'll take the federal grant and get the free computers. Okay? So we'll save our county money, man. I'm a good councilman, ain't I good? Yeah. And guess what? He just sold your butt out.
Amen.
Okay, now when you now have that driver's license, that magnetic stripe on here, okay? That magnetic stripe, he just runs it through his computer, and here comes the records. Okay, this is Joe Blow. Oh, well, the Joe Blow don't like paying his tax records here like that. So, okay, Joe, I got to take some out of you here. And okay, he said, okay, well, that's their number right here for the driver's license. So, here's a little chip right here. I'm going to program his number into it. Okay, I'm going to take some blood out of here. Takes that blood out. Oh, I got a DNA sample. I ain't even chipped. How about that, man? What a deal.
Yeah.
What a deal. All right, and they already got this plan going.
Yeah.
And
get more.
Well, one thing about it is, it's funny, man. Magnetism does a weird thing to electronics. So you go get you a magnet about that big, and you just stick it right under there like that. And, hey, man, it don't work no more. What happened?
How about the frequency machine?
That'll burn it out too. You can stand sticking your hand in a microwave, that'll work. So, the CD that I'm going to give you has all the contracts to do that. And I'll show you one, because I've built one affidavit that revokes all of those things. Now see, there's something in law that you need to understand. When you get pulled into a court, they're going to send you presumptive letters, like the IRS sends you, that you owe us $15,000. If you don't answer, what happens? You own it, because that's administrative law. So, oh yeah, we sent him 3 notices, and he didn't respond, so we went and got his land and his bank account, and said, okay, great, deal, done deal, he didn't respond, so he owed it. Okay, so when you file an affidavit of truth in the county, and you have the certified copies with you, and they send you a presumptive letter, then you respond to the presumptive letter, and you have it legal terms on it. Now, if you get called into a court, there's pleading, notions, and motions that you file, and there's also requests for admissions. And so there's a whole process that you have to do to respond to this in order to do it.
Is that 72 hours? Does that mean 2 hours you have to respond?
No, there's 10 days. 3 days on some circumstances, so it's a pretty quick response most of the time. But you have to file motions for trial by jury, challenge of jurisdiction, motion to dismiss, motion for summary judgment, and judicial notice that not used the judicial notice saying that I filed these affidavits, they never responded, and then I
then what I did is I perfected it, because after I send back my responses to the IRS, they're not going to answer that stuff. I ask them questions that they don't like, say, show me where the obligation was created for me to pay taxes. Oh, blah, 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 blah. There ain't one. Okay, so how can they answer, well, something there ain't one? And so you respond to them on questions they don't want anybody to know an answer, and they won't answer you. Okay? So then you send them a second notice. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear from you yet. So, you know, this is your second notice. And by the way, if you don't respond to these questions, then you hereby admit that the position I'm taking is law and you have no recourse and blah, you know, you say, give them the same legal garbage they give you. Third one, 3 days later, default notice. You're defaulted. And then what you do is you take down and file an affidavit with the county. Said, here, there's an affidavit with three defaults like that. And they'll go, oh, okay. And they'll sign that affidavit. Guess what? That's prima facie evidence. You go into a courtroom, the IRS will come in here, well, here's our submissions to him. And you say, yeah, I answered all those letters, and here's an affidavit like that. And you go, okay, get out of here, IRS. They have no standing. And when you file these motions for trial by jury, the motion to dismiss, and those things, when you put the judge on notice, you took an oath. And that's the first thing I ask when I go into the courtroom. Is I'll sit there and I'll say, do you have you taken an oath of office? Is that correct? And of course he's going to go, oh, yes, I have. Oh, yes, I have. And I say, prosecutor, have you taken an oath of office? And he goes, oh, yes, I have. So pursuant to your oath and your performance of your official duties, including those before the court, are you required to abide by that oath? Is that correct? And so when you say, is that correct, they've got to say yes or no. You see? And they go, yeah, sure I am, because if they don't, then they can be removed as a judge or prosecuting attorney. Okay? So, then, does the court abide by all the powers and rights guaranteed to American citizens in the federal and state constitution, including due process of law? Oh, yeah, yeah, because if he says no, guess what? He's committing treason.
That's right.
Okay? Am I entitled and guaranteed a fair and impartial trial presided over by a fair and unbiased and impartial judge? Is that correct? Oh, yeah, you get a free trial. I mean, a good trial in here. He says no, he's in treason again. Okay? And I had a prosecutor that backed out on some of this stuff after he had said it, and he went in, and I filed a motion for treason against him. And I guarantee you, man, that case was dismissed faster than the speed of light. Okay? So next question. I am presumed innocent of all aspects of alleged crimes, presumption and assumption then by this court, unless proven guilty by a jury of my peers beyond a reasonable doubt, based solely on the verified evidence and proof. Is that correct? Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. So here they go. They've set the tone of the trial. You've given yourself a constitutional trial. If they deviate from it, they're a treason, and you can bust their butt. Okay, so that I think you get the message here. And I've got several pages of that and about the pleadings and all that. Okay, so no man can serve two masters.
Amen.
And who you fear is your God.
Amen. That's right.
So how many in here are going, oh man, IRS. Ooh, oh no. That state trooper boy, he might bust my butt for driving without a license. If you fear him, guess what? The government's your God.
There you go.
Okay? You better fear Yahweh, not the USA Inc. Let's just say right here. That's right. That's where my father is.
Amen.
He's not up in Washington.
He's not in the wrong
baby. Huh?
Not in the wrong baby.
No. All right, here's the one I filed last September. And this is, I put down my in care of address and all that, or my mailing location. And then I filed, see right here how I signed, I put this in here?
This is family.
This is my copyright name right here. I copyrighted this and I filed this next, but it says, I am my family name and my Christian name, sui juris. I'm capable of my own thing. I don't need your slavery. Thank you.
Amen.
Free, natural flesh and blood, city of man, state citizen by birth of the Union State of Florida.
now a man on the land in Alabama Republic, be it known to all courts. And I say, I'm a natural, free-born sovereign without subjects. I'm neither subject to any entity anywhere, nor is any entity subject to me. I neither dominate anyone, nor am I dominated. My authority for this statement is the same as it is for all free sovereigns everywhere. The age-old, timeless, and universal respect for intrinsic rights, property, freedoms, and responsibilities of the sovereign individual. I am not, nor have I ever been, a 14th Amendment U.S. citizen and subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. A corporation established in 1871, I adhere to the Constitution for the United States of America, 1787, not the Constitution of the United States, 1871. Okay? I am not a juristic person as defined in statutes of the United States or statutes of the states. And I've got 12 pages in this affidavit. I tell them, they ain't got shit.
Amen. Cutting around the throat, they go again.
And here's my copyright with a public record, which says your copyright notice was filed, and thank you again for the opportunity, and here's back all the newspapers that proved that you did it, and the certified copy of your copyright. Okay? So, yeah, we're from government. We're here to help you.
Yeah, I help you right now.
Everything.
And I got something right here from Daniel 4:34. And I hope some of you here have had the same thing that happened to Nebuchadnezzar has happened to you. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation.
Amen.
So he got his sanity back, right?
Amen.
Well, you guys have all been insane, because all you're doing is working for an illusion.
Right.
Okay. Now, in this package that I'm putting together, on the CD, there's a book called Thy Kingdom Come. It's 130 pages, and it's all on, the whole book's on there for free. And I want you to read that first. If it's stuff here sounds kind of, oh, that's kind of weird. This goes through Egypt, Rome, Babylon, and the United States, and has all the scriptural verses as to why we are not enslaved by those systems. Okay? And it's excellent. I'm telling you, that book right there nails it down. And then, on the CD, I've also got all of the forms needed, a freedom book, which is a 31-page book that tells you that these things are all myths, you know, having to have a certificate of title and all these things. And then I've got probably 200 stories that I pull off of the Internet. I had a computer background. Like I said, I was vice president of the biggest software company, so they had 300 guys working for me, and I'm telling you, I had the high-tech gurus. I mean, I'd wear out 1 week, and I'd burn them out. And so I had three of these guys program an artificial intelligence robot, and all it does is go out on the Internet, and it has 1,000 keywords keyed into it after pestilence, economic, scriptural stuff. I mean, I laid it all out of what I want, okay? And then Steve Quayle, who some of you haven't heard about, all these things are dumped to his website. Okay, so every day I can go to Steve Quayle's website and look at the news page, and there's 30 or 40 new news articles having to do with the economy, pestilence, germs, all these things. And then you go down to the archives, and it has all of them categorized into these different categories, and then it's got them all by years going back to 2002. So there's over 5,000 news articles in there that you can go back and start researching and reading about different subjects. From chemtrails to weapons development, beam particle weapons, the electromagnetic weapons that they're doing, all these things are in there.
Steve Quayle's?
SteveQuayle.com.
Mm-hmm.
Then gold and silver. There's a file on the CD for gold and silver, and what your rights are to own gold and silver, and what the scriptural parts of it are, and the value. And then there's scripture files, and Pastor Buddy is going to load that up. I put in about 12, 13 documents, and then he's going to put in a bunch of his white papers and stuff, too, so that you'll have that on there. And then there's a file of the United States, and all these corporations that I showed you, and the Constitution, and all those sorts of things are in the United States file, and then a copy of the presentation. Now, there's a couple books that I wanted to show you. And thank you.